It's just a flat white, mate.
It's delicious.
I asked her to make it with extreme care.
I can taste the love, and I will be suing them.
What an amazing comeback! You just cannot write scripts like this.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Final Countdown, a podcast looking back at great finals within the game of football. I am Lewis, here with my co-host Adam.
Hello there.
But I have lied to you on the intro because it is not the Final Countdown looking back at great finals within the game of football.
Well, I thought as you said it, it's looking back at great final days.
The Final Days podcast, which sounds very post-apocalyptic and like we're doubling down on the state of the world. But we do promise listeners that we have fun and intrigue ahead of you. So what were you
fun
decided to
and
do?
Education.
Fun and educational. We've decided that this mini-series that we're going to embark on before we start our next actual final series is the final days of iconic footballers and how they spent their final seasons. That might be in microcosm, it might be one moment. As an example, I don't think we're going to do this because we've spoken a lot about it, but Zidane's headbutt. You get the idea that we might take one thing in microcosm. It might literally be the time they hung up their boots, but you could do Gerrard's end of his Liverpool career, even though he went on to have two seasons at LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure the listeners get the idea. Addy, it's your first final days with us today. So,
well, when you talk about iconic footballers, I'm not sure that there are many more iconic for us Englishmen than one Sir David Beckham.
I thought you were going to go with Carlton Palmer, but Beckham's good. Beckham is a strong second there. Yeah, a sarong-wearing David Beckham.
That's right.
That's always the image I have in my head.
And in many ways, I think for our generation, he was symbolistic of our England-watching experience.
Yeah.
Not to mention our football-watching experience for while he was still at the Premier League, certainly. So I thought it was a good one to start with. And the way we're going to do it is kind of a little kind of a setup of episodes into the final countdown. And in Beckham's case, it's actually two final countdowns, one when he left Madrid and one when he finished at PSG. But it's a very soap opera-y type career.
We were talking about Wrexham and the fact that
The
drama that has come out of Wrexham, even though it's obviously linked with the Hollywood owners and everything, it is a script that you can't really write. It is better than what you would write at the moment, the drama.
Yeah.
It feels like with Beckham, there was something almost fairy tale about how everything occurred in his career and the way it ended and kind of the nostalgia and the emotion. Yeah. And
even more so than I remember, even researching into it, ready for this, that you know, loads went on with Beckham that you just forget because it was just, you know,
so much.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on. Not all great. Like, you know, he's not everybody's cup of tea. But I think anybody that witnessed the Greece game would have a hard time.
It's a season ticket then. You can do whatever you want.
I don't
really care.
He's almost got a free pass after that.
Yeah.
So,
which he took full advantage of.
He did.
Rebecca Lewes.
Allegedly.
The Final Countdown podcast, the lawyers are very happy that we stuck that one in there.
So anyway, I thought to begin this little series, we would begin with an intro of unknowns. So these are designed to make you go, oh, or yeah, I knew that ad, try again. So intro of unknowns for Beckham. Beckham had trials with his local club, Leighton Orient. He was a London boy.
Yeah.
Norwich City, and he attended Spurs' School of Excellence.
I knew Spurs, I didn't know the other two.
Yeah, so his family were Spurs fans. So Leighton Orient, Norwich City and Spurs, though he never represented the club, any of those clubs, in a match. So they might have been kicking themselves. Beckham eventually went on loan to Preston North End in the middle of the 94-95 season. While he was at United, he'd signed by that point, to get some first-team experience. He impressed, scoring two goals in five appearances, and notably scoring directly from a corner.
This meeting attracted nearly 10,000 spectators to Deepdale, and they saw two players score on their Preston debuts. David Beckham, signed on a month's loan from Manchester United, needed little time to make his mark on the fixture as he edged Preston back in front, direct from a corner.
He's just balling out, isn't he? You love the confidence of a young, probably, 18-year-old Beck?
I think so, yeah.
That's impressive. Because you know he meant it. You knew he had the technique to do that. That isn't I'm swinging it in back stick, oh, it's gone in.
No.
Like, Beckham knows exactly
what
he's doing.
He's gone for it, He's trying to grab the headlines. Beckham was a mascot for a Man United match in 1986.
That is crazy. That doesn't make sense in my head. The
crazy,
idea of Beckham
isn't it?
Doing anything in the 80s, it just doesn't seem right.
Which, if I'm right, that would have been Ferguson's first season.
You've got a better knowledge than me off the top of your
dome. I think it was. Isn't that weird? So the mascot experience was a little bit marred when Ferguson threw a boot at him.
Look at that little shin over there. A brogue came flying through the air.
And finally, the unknown. Beckham is the only Englishman to win league titles in four different countries.
Oh, that's a great stat.
You like
that's
that one?
Really good. That is, he's just success. Wherever he goes, success follows.
And there's a little bit, actually, it's funny you say that. There is a little bit of there with Beckham where he had an incredible knack, and we'll get into this a little bit, of where it seemed like it had gone wrong. He found a way, mainly through his resilience, and I guess you could say his stubborn determination, to turn situations around that were seemingly dead in the water.
I think that's the words. Dedication or determination there is really fitting, because I think with Beckham, because of the celebrity side of things, because he's married to a Spice Girl, because of the sarong and things that got blown out of proportion, all this stuff, you do forget he was a gritty midfielder, like in terms of his engine, his work rate, especially in an England shirt.
Yeah.
And you think nowadays, with wingers not being what they used to be in terms of get wide, put in crosses, I wonder if Beckham would have been, like, if he'd come up through the youth ranks now, like a battling centre midfielder, a bit like a Ward-Prowse, really good at set pieces, just in the centre of the game, breaking up play and then releasing passes.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
I mean, he wasn't... people often say that he made the most of his talent and then some. And I think it might be selling him a bit short, because his passing, because it's not headline grabbing, but his passing range was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's still probably the best I've ever seen in my life, even now, even compared to the likes of like Pirlo or Zidane, people like that.
I thought you were going to say Trent then. I was going to scream at you.
Well, Trent is the modern day Beckham, which is 100% true for the record.
About the same defence level.
I got drawn into a rabbit hole the other day of watching Trent Alexander-Arnold defending 2021-2022 season and thought, this is atrocious as a professional footballer. But anyway, moving past Trent.
Yeah, let's move past that. So anyway, Beckham's resilience, we're going to come across, and in some ways that kind of embodies his story a little bit. But we begin really with not necessarily a final countdown, but almost the beginning of the whole thing. I'll take you back, Lewis, to the opening day of the 96-97 season.
Oh, yes. I can feel the nostalgia creeping up from within me.
So United had sealed the title the previous season to introduce the class of 92 and leave Alan Hansen with egg on his face, those who remember that well. But only Gary Neville had played for England that glorious summer.
And that had been a rapid call-up, hadn't it?
It had,
We saw him speaking about this recently, the fact that he'd only played 17 games, something like that.
Well, he came along at the right time, because Gary Neville, obviously was in a title-winning team. Paul Parker was kind of reaching his... expiry date, really. Mm-hmm. He'd been around for a long time. He played in 1990. So he was kind of like the other right back.
Yeah.
So Venables being what Venables was, gave Gary Neville his chance. But I just thought that was interesting of, Nicky Butt, Gary Neville, Phil Neville, Beckham, Scholes. Venables only picked Gary Neville. Phil Neville was in the squad but didn't play. But I just thought that was...
Probably for the best.
I thought that was quite interesting. Yeah, that Scholes, Butt and Beckham played no part in Euro 96. So anyway, so the following season, you kind of got the impression that the class of 92 still had a point to prove in the sense that they hadn't yet played for their country. Venables had gone by this point, one of the greatest miscarriages of justice the FA have ever imposed on this country.
I'll tell what could have been.
And a new era was announced. And so United visited Wimbledon.
Yes. Is that Peter Enkelman? Was he in goal? I can't ever remember.
Sullivan.
Neil Sullivan, that's it. Oh, Enkelman was the Villa guy who let the ball under.
That's right. Yeah. Neil Sullivan was the goalkeeper for Wimbledon that day. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go on YouTube, Beckham versus Wimbledon 96. And it was the announcement.
And Beckham saw Sullivan off his line. Oh, that is absolutely phenomenal. Astonishing goal by David Beckham from the halfway line. Sullivan couldn't get back. Well, you might expect Eric Cantona to do that, but he would have admired it. David Beckham, surely an England player of the future, scores a goal that will be talked about and replayed for years.
And you have to know what we're talking about, because really, obviously games had been televised for decades, but not regularly and not as easily available, because it used to be like the big match.
Sure,
this is the one game we're showing. So this came about at a time when you'd heard stories of people scoring from the halfway line, but to actually see it and have it available for everyone to see, like this certainly from my memory, is like the first time that that happened, that footage went viral of like...
Yeah. Well, it was on every highlights reel, anything that presented the Premier League anywhere.
Yeah.
This was the goal.
And all the, this sounds silly, but all the VHSs as well, of like the wonder of goals course, you'd yeah, get yeah, like yeah. before YouTube, before DVDs were like... mass market available.
Yeah.
You had like the VHS, you'd have like Danny Kelly's greatest goals. Danny Kelly. And it would be like,
where did Danny Kelly go?
He's still around. You can still find him. But yeah, it's just these amazing goals. But I think that one was always in the top five kind of like modern day goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so let's set it up. Beckham gets the ball just inside his own half, and the ball, he lets the ball roll in front of him just inside the Wimbledon half, and I mean just like a yard.
And he's wide right as well, isn't he? He's not central.
Yeah, yeah. And he just thinks, I fancy this. And I guess he saw Sullivan off his line, as keepers would be, mm-hmm. when the ball is on the halfway line.
Yeah, sure.
And he absolutely pings it, and it goes direct into the goal, to the loving it United fans behind the goal.
Which is how you know as well that early in his Preston days, the scoring direct from a corner, he had the audacity to do it. It's things like this that you see again.
Exactly, yeah. And I think, again, that set him apart a little bit. Neil Sullivan said of the famous incident, "We were in added time, and as he hit it, I was thinking, well, this is going to be close. And then it started to drop, and I thought, shit. I'm nowhere near this." My distinct memory is then looking up through the net and the United fans behind the goal absolutely pissing themselves at me.
Well, I'm glad that Sullivan can laugh about it, because in a way he's kind of etched himself into history there.
He has, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that was
amazing.
It was an iconic moment. Beckham himself later said, "I couldn't have," in one of his 54 autobiographies, "I couldn't have known it then, but that moment was the start of it all. The attention, the press coverage, the fame. When my foot struck that ball, it kicked open the door to the rest of my life," which is a really interesting view. But it was true.
Yeah,
you know, he was a kind of a part of the, you know, the Spice Boys type era, if you like.
Yeah.
And footballers, like you just said, footballers becoming much less kind of like louty, you know, lager drinking thugs, as they probably were with, you know, like Steve Bruce kind of era.
Yeah.
Bless him. And then, so it kind of embodied that a little bit, and Beckham was at the forefront of that. And obviously when he married a Spice Girl, it increased tenfold.
It took it to another level. He's the first. I know that people obviously talk about George Best being the first of celebrity footballer.
Yeah.
But that was obviously before my time. But really, after Best, a little bit of Lee Sharp. But really, Lee Sharp is
true.
A poor man.
Yeah.
It's George Best. Like Beckham, with the advent of when he came around and then things like the internet becoming a thing, he became another level of fame, another level of celebrity. Like, he's probably the only footballer in my life where you could argue he was a celebrity first and then a footballer second.
Yeah, true. Well, non-football loving girls in particular,
in
the late 90s when I was at school, knew who Beckham was.
Yeah, exactly.
But they did not
know who he played
for. They did not know who Steve Bruce was. They did not know who Pallister was.
That's a poor comparison, isn't it? Hey, girls, you're interested in Beckham. Can I interest you in a Stephen Bruce?
I've got a Steve Bruce poster. Can I put this one up? So, a major thing I remember about it is that the first person to congratulate Beckham when he did it was Ferguson's love child,
Mr. McClare.
He was still there, which I find surprising. He was still there.
Well, you know, he's got a season ticket, hasn't he? He can get on the pitch whenever he wants. Ferguson's got nothing on him. They call him Teflon McClare, not in sticks.
Yeah, we don't want your alimony, Fergie. Let me play. So anyway, in a UK poll, interesting you said about top five goals, in a UK poll conducted by Channel 4 in 2002, the British public voted the goal number 18 in the list of 100 greatest sporting moments.
Oh, that's good,
isn't it? Of all time.
Yeah,
really. So not British, 100 greatest. So I
thought
not
even football, but sport in
nuts.
General.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's overstating slightly, and it might have been about the fact that it had just happened 5 years before, but I think that's how much impact it had.
Yeah.
On that time. Essentially, Brand Beckham, as we now know it, was born.
Mm-hmm.
And in, like you just said, in some ways, I think that became almost the central, I don't know about for him, but certainly the people around him, it became the central pursuit of what he was about, is building this brand. I think he kind of got drawn into that. I genuinely believe he always loved football as much as he said he did.
Yeah.
Because he played like that. Mm-hmm. But I also think he got caught up.
Could you think of the hundreds of people in his life that would have been trying to get in his ear and trying to get a piece of the pie and riding the back of, like you say, Brand Beckham to try and get their slice of it.
Yeah.
But I completely agree. When you saw him put him on an England shirt, you knew that that was genuine passion and genuine desire.
Definitely.
For the game.
And then even the way he played football, anywhere, United, Madrid, like, you always had that sense that actually when he does this, this is the truest form of him. He just got embroiled in a lot of other crap.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll talk about it, but the fact that, one, he was a consummate professional, the fact he went on till he was like 36, yeah. I think he was about 36, 37 yeah. years old, and the fact that he could have took it easy in the MLS, but he, you know, kept on taking loans to play in Italy, in France. Yeah, like, yeah. he wanted to keep playing at an incredibly high level. Like, a 37-year-old, I know there was a part of it that was a little bit marketing,
yeah.
but he still played an important role for, like, Paris Saint-Germain and Milan, yeah. especially Milan. Yeah. He was brilliant there.
No, I agree. So, one last interesting fact from the Wimbledon incident. Beckham was wearing the number 10 shirt.
Was he
girl.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know. Well, I noticed when I watched it back, I was like, that's weird. So I looked it up. And for that season is the only season he wore number 10.
Very strange.
Because there was a certain Eric Cantona who was still wearing 7 in that okay. season. Cantona retired at the end of that season. Mm-hmm. And Beckham took on the iconic 7 shirt.
That makes sense.
From that period on.
But yeah, that's a good pub trivia as well. What number was Beckham wearing when he scored the goal?
Believe it or not, there's a Wikipedia page about it.
Of course there is. Of course there is. Why wouldn't there be?
So that is the setup of Beckham's career. As we said, Brand Beckham went on to be built, and he took a move to a club in 2003 as the fallout from the Fergie incident, the boot incident, kind of played out. He took a move to Real Madrid, and in some ways, it was an iconic Brand Beckham move. In other ways, it symbolised everything he was about. So we're going to tell the story of the real exit.
You just cannot write scripts like this.
So as the summer of 2003, the transfer window approached, Man United appeared keen to sell Beckham, initially to Barcelona. I didn't remember this.
Right?
Yeah. So obviously everything that happened with Fergie and Beckham, you can read all about it. There's loads of stuff that went on. Obviously the boot incident was a big thing, but I think it was more about the fact that Fergie felt that Beckham was getting a bit too big for his boots.
Yeah, which is very Fergie-like, is to see just on the cusp before, like, player power took over
exactly.
and then ship them off.
Yeah, I mean, Van Nistelrooy, Keane, there's
Yapstam.
There's plenty of incidents where that happened. So the two clubs, Barcelona and United, even announced that they had reached a deal for Beckham's transfer.
I have no memory of this.
That's that weird.
Bizarre, yeah.
But instead, he joined the reigning Spanish champions, Real Madrid, for $37 million on a 4-year contract. So, yeah, incredible that the Barcelona deal fell through. The Galacticos that were at Real Madrid, I think, were a big part of Beckham's thinking in terms of becoming a part of that. I'm sure it was a big part of the thinking of his entourage in kind of having him a part of Figo, Zidane, Roberto Carlos.
Ronaldo,
yeah, nuts. Like team that was going on there. So although Beckham had worn the number 7 shirt for United, he was unable to wear it in Madrid. Who was it assigned to?
Raul,
very good. Yes. Club captain.
Look at that.
So Beckham decided to wear the number 23 instead, citing his admiration of basketball legend Michael Jordan, who also wore 23, as the reason behind his decision. On the sales of Beckham-related merchandise following his arrival at Real Madrid, an Adidas spokesman stated, put Beckham's name on any product and Real Madrid did not stop selling.
That is amazing.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, what we talked about a minute ago about Brand Beckham and it beginning with that Wimbledon goal. Yeah, this is the kind of the peak, if you like, of everything that was. He just, the power of that brand to be able to sell anything.
Yeah.
And there was a big part of why they think Madrid paid more than he was worth at that time.
Yeah.
And because of the money that they would get back.
Well, you forget even things like the pop culture influence he had, not so much with like, oh, I can buy this marketing, but it used to genuinely be a thing. When Beckham got a new haircut,
oh yeah,
the schools, the next week, there would be loads of people that would go and just match whatever haircut Beckham got, whether it was like shaved head, whether it was the, he obviously put the Alice band in and had the curtains and like just all
I'm
of
not
them
ashamed
got,
to say, mate, I got a mohawk. What are you saying?
I'm saying that, do you regret that looking back, or were you proud to represent Beckham? But the thing is, people wouldn't have mocked you that much.
No, I don't remember being mocked
much, because no. Beckham had it gave it a legitimacy.
I mean, looking back, I think, what a tit. But at the time, I was like, this is funny.
Yeah. And it worked.
Very
for you.
Weird. Thanks, mate.
People giving you double glances as you walk past. I'm David Beckham.
And they see me swinging a right foot cross. Beckham did not require much time to settle in at Madrid. He scored 5 times in his first 16 matches, including a goal less than 3 minutes into his La Liga debut. You said about the guy writing his own scripts. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that came synonymous with Beckham. So 3 minutes in to play Madrid. Obviously, the fans loved him because of that. But unfortunately, it's interesting reading through Madrid's well, Madrid in this time, because they weren't particularly successful. And that's a little bit lost in history, isn't it? You know, the Galacticos are the headline, but they didn't win a lot.
No, they didn't, which was part of the reason that Florentino Perez ended up losing his chairman position, because it was kind of the... I'm trying to think of a modern-day example, but it is that, like, almost like Chelsea at the moment, where they've spent almost £1 billion. They've recorded losses of over £1 billion now.
Yeah.
First football club in history to do that. And it's kind of like, you can throw as much money as you want at the problem, but ultimately, if you don't have an identity, a cohesion, which obviously Barcelona are right in the genesis of starting to create through Rijkaard and then later on Pep, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the stability of Barcelona, and certainly in their leadership. Five different managers in Beckham's time didn't help his Madrid career at all. Barcelona pipping them time and time again to the league title, missing out on the cup competitions, losing in the Champions League quarterfinals twice in a row, once I might add to Arsenal, which might have hurt, although Arsenal were good at that point, in fairness. But that must have haunted Beckham a little bit. The summer of 2006, the off-season, marked a turbulent time, as you mentioned a second ago, as the club's presidential elections were held. Ramon Calderon was installed as the new Real president, initially out of favour with the newly arrived then head coach, Capello.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, knowing history playing out as it did. The man who eventually brought aging Beckham back into an England squad and very nearly to the 2010 World Cup.
That's right, yeah.
Which was crazy at the time. He obviously got injured. We're not covering that today, but he got injured and didn't make it, and then kind of went as a bizarre on the bench type thing. That was a bit strange.
Felt a bit like a PR thing for... clearly he saw something in his... Maybe it was his professionalism, his dedication. Maybe he just liked having him around.
Yeah.
Maybe he saw the professionalism away from the surface.
More of a scandal going on there. Fabio and Victoria. It's history.
No, that'll be Sven, mate. That'll be Sven and Victoria.
Allegedly. So Capello didn't like Beckham for whatever reason as he started this new kind of regime at Madrid. Beckham only started a few games at the beginning of the season. Although, interestingly, a bad stat for Beckham. Of the first 9 matches Beckham started under Capello, Real lost 7.
Ooh, yeah.
Although, it's a little bit... It's a little bit misleading because...
Yeah, because you could also say that about probably Zidane at
the time. Madrid weren't doing well at this point. On the 10th, this is an interesting timeline. On the 10th of January 2007, after prolonged contractual negotiations, Real Madrid's sporting director, Predrag Miletic, announced that Beckham would not remain at Real Madrid after the end of the season.
Oh, it was announced early.
Yeah. However, he later claimed that he was mistranslated and that he actually said that Beckham's contract had not yet been renewed.
Very interesting, because that's quite a big difference, isn't
it? 10th of January, that is, and he walked it back. One day later, Beckham announced that he would be signing a 5-year deal to play for LA Galaxy.
So he must have had that in the pipeline then. That doesn't get negotiated in 24 hours.
No, I'm guessing that Miletic has pissed off Beckham's people there by announcing something that they wanted to announce. But anyway, he would go to Galaxy, but he wouldn't go till July. So again, you had this weird window where it seemed like the final countdown of Beckham's Real Madrid career was going to be played out on the subs bench or even not in the squad. And Beckham did what Beckham did. He dug in training. The next month, he didn't feature at all. Wow. He didn't even train for the next 2 weeks with Capello's first team.
That's sending a signal.
Incredible. On the 13th of January, 2 days after this, Capello just contacts. Capello said that Beckham had played his last game for Real Madrid. Publicly said it. Although he continued to train with the team, train with the reserves for the next couple of weeks. A few days later, while speaking to the students at Villanueva University Center in Madrid, Calderon said that Beckham is going to Hollywood to be half a film star.
I love the fact that even his own team are writing him off.
It's crazy. Yeah. This is 2 days after it was announced. Yeah. So it's so messy.
Yeah.
Not good at all. Calderon added that our technical staff were right not to extend his contract, which has been proved by the fact that no other technical staff in the world wanted him except in Los Angeles.
No, I don't believe that's true.
No, I don't. But, like, it's just so...
It's a slanderous campaign, isn't it? Yeah. It's like a politician being dumped out.
And I think there's a part of me that this is why I love Beckham. Because he just stayed quiet.
Yeah.
And he went to train with the reserves. Mm-hmm. He didn't throw his toys out the pram. And I know he can.
Yeah.
You know, the emails about the knighthood and all the rest of it. So I'm not saying he's an angel. But when it comes to football, he just knuckled down. On the 10th of February, Capello suddenly backtracked on his earlier statement, allowing Beckham to rejoin the team for his match against Real Sociedad. The player immediately repaid his head coach's trust by scoring the equalising goal from a 27-yard free kick.
Stop it.
Real Madrid eventually recording a 2-1 victory. In the Champions League, Beckham played a pivotal role in all three Madrid goals in the home game against Bayern Munich as Madrid took an early lead. Goalkeeper Oliver Kahn describing Beckham's performance as absolutely world-class. So this is the turnaround Amazing. In a matter of months. Yeah. Beckham was injured for the return. Unfortunately, Munich turned the game around and they were knocked out. The 17th of June, the last day of the La Liga season, Beckham started his final match for the club, a 3-1 win over Mallorca, which saw them clinch the title from Barcelona.
Oh, clutch.
It's just incredible, isn't it?
A big player for big games.
It is. Although Real and Barcelona both finished level on points, Madrid took the title because of their superior head-to-head record, capping a remarkable six-month turnaround for Beckham. It was only his second piece of silverware since he joined the famous club.
Wow. That's crazy.
Nuts, isn't it?
But so fitting, like, backs against the wall, that kind of
yeah.
English mentality of, like, stiff upper lip. I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to get
just
on.
Just get on
it.
With it. Yeah. And he turns, time and time again, Beckham turned coaches in particular his head around and kind of go, hang on a minute, maybe he's not done.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he did it with Capello again with England. Yeah, just incredible stuff. He obviously did it with Hoddle with England and, you know, was not under Hoddle, but he was made captain later. Just embodies the footballer. I think it's important. I don't want to kind of like, you know, Beckham is an angel because he could be a bit of an ob, but certainly as a footballer. So towards the end of the season, Beckham was getting back into Capello's good books and after successfully finding his way back into the first team, Real Madrid, this is incredible, announced that they would try and untie his transfer to LA Galaxy. They announced that publicly, that they were going to try and walk it back.
Do you think that was to appease the fans that maybe hadn't turned on Beckham as much as they had hoped?
I don't know, yeah. Or I don't know, maybe Capello was like, you need to get him to stay? Incredible. So several weeks before Beckham's scheduled arrival in the United States, Real's management contacted LA Galaxy's ownership group about reacquiring the player, but they were quickly turned down.
Yeah,
and Beckham essentially made his move to LA Galaxy, and his days at Real Madrid were over.
Oh, that is drama. That is beautiful, though, isn't it, to end in that way?
It is incredible, yeah. It absolutely is incredible. And I guess in some ways it kind of... You said earlier about the fact that the guy writes his own scripts, and I think I said last week that football writes incredible scripts, but not predictable ones.
That's right.
And I think in some ways the predictable Hollywood one, that he would come back and, you know, captain Real Madrid or whatever it was. But he ultimately, he still went where he said he was going to go. A lot of people said it was the end of his career.
Yeah, I remember.
Going to LA Galaxy, I think probably we would have agreed.
Yeah.
But yeah, fast forward to finish in his final countdown of his days, he went to LA Galaxy, did well at LA Galaxy, albeit in a, you know, kind of a minor league, really, if we're being honest. But he suddenly shocked the world with these loan spells. He went to Milan, AC Milan. Mm-hmm. He broke back into the England team with AC Milan. He went there twice, didn't realise that. He did two loan spells. And then
he was genuinely integral to that Milan squad. He was superb when he came in on loan.
It should, if those of you don't know or don't remember, the American football season finished in January.
Yeah.
So he was free from January through, obviously, not cup tied from a Champions League point of view or any domestic cup. So he was able to come and play a full part, which was quite rare for loan spells.
Yeah, of course.
And I think that's why he was such an attractive prospect. Yeah. So eventually in 2013, Beckham, he'd been at LA Galaxy for six years. 31st of January 2013, ahead of the transfer deadline, it was announced that Beckham would be undergoing a medical with Paris Saint-Germain. Beckham signed a five-month deal with the club later that afternoon. His entire salary during his time in Paris would be donated to a local children's charity.
That's right.
Which is something that certainly in Paris he was very popular for. There's obviously cynics with that, but he ultimately still handed over the money.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But yeah, so he was instantly popular.
That's interesting, because I just assumed it was a loan contract like his Milan one. I'd forgotten that he actually signed for them for those 5 months.
Yeah, he left Galaxy, yeah. So Beckham made 10 League One appearances in... the 2012-2013 season, helping the club become French champions. This is amazing. French champions for the first time since 94.
Yeah.
So you kind of think they win every year now.
Of course it would be Paris Saint-Germain, but no.
Yeah, so at that time they were building what we now know, Mbappe, Messi, all the rest of it. So on the 16th of May, so you know 5 months later, Beckham announced, whether he knew this was going to be the case or whether he just got there and thought this is it, he announced that he would retire from professional football at the end of that year's French football season. He was made captain by Carlo Ancelotti.
Oh, that's a lovely touch. Classy Carlo.
He's great, isn't he?
He knows what he's doing.
So he was made captain in his final home game against Brest. In this game, Beckham assisted a goal, of course he did, by Matuidi.
Matuidi.
There we go. From a corner. He also, this is great, he also turned down the chance to score one last free kick, instead allowing Zlatan to fire the ball home before immediately running to the giant Swede to celebrate.
That's great.
And again, there's a little bit of Beckham there, the kind of selflessness of that. He was subbed off after 80 minutes. And those of you that remember this, it was pretty iconic, wasn't it? He exited the pitch for the final time with tears streaming down his face to the applause of fans, teammates, coach and staff. It was quite full on.
There's a wonderful video on YouTube where the camera stays on Beckham as the game is still continuing.
Yeah.
And he knows his number's about to come up. And so for about a minute and a half, you can see him trying to not get choked up. While the game is still happening, he's kind of like very peripheral.
Knows it's coming.
Yeah. And you can see him start to well up because he knows.
It's interesting you say that. His quote, it started about 20 minutes before I got subbed, to be honest. Right. I started thinking about everything, about the career that I'd had. And then, you know, you just can't concentrate. And it was pretty difficult. You try to hold the emotion back because it is what it is. And it was the end. It was difficult. To end my career in front of a crowd like that, with players like that, it was very special, said Beckham after the final whistle, adding that he was already feeling emotional throughout the game. PSG and the world are losing a fantastic player and a great guy. Classy Carlo, told the reporters after the game.
Yes. Good man, Carlo.
And now Beckham will hand over the captain's armband and bring the curtain down on a glorious career. A standing ovation from the Parc des Princes crowd, including his wife Victoria and his sister Joanna. Beckham, a champion in four different countries. Beckham, six times an English champion with Manchester United. Once a Spanish champion with Real Madrid, twice in the United States with LA Galaxy, and now with Paris Saint-Germain in 2012-2013, England's most capped outfield player waves goodbye.
But he is, I don't know about you, when I think about England, he's my England captain.
Yeah.
There's no other captain. Like Harry Kane, great. Shearer, great. But when I think of England captaincy, what it means, what I'm looking for, it is Beckham. It's what he epitomised.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned the Greece game and it would have been easy to cover that, but we've covered it a little bit in other countdowns before. But I think what was great about that Greece game, and if you're a young listener and don't know what we're talking about, there's a great YouTube video of Beckham against Greece.
Oh, cool.
Which in some ways sums up the game.
Yeah, sure.
We were absolutely terrible
in
that game.
We were dismal.
But it's not just the free kick. Like you just said, he embodies in that game what you want from an England player. And I think the fans are pretty easy with England. They just want that.
Yeah.
That's all we want. Just want you to give a shit and to work your bollocks off and ultimately to score the winner in the 94th minute. Or not the winner, but the goal that
the
got
goal
us to the
World
Cup.
Need. Yeah, absolutely.
To come through, to be everything that you've always suggested you are at your club, to do it when it matters for your country.
And he was like a man possessed. I've never seen anyone seemingly run as much as that.
Yeah.
It was just, it is breathtaking when I think back to that performance.
Totally.
He literally grabs the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah. I mean, he did Cruyff turns. He did stepovers.
He can do it all.
It was crazy. Yeah, he did stuff in that game I've never seen him do before or since.
He didn't need to, mate.
He didn't. He got it done.
We've played 2.5 minutes of stoppage time. England trail by 2-1. Beckham could raise the roof here with a goal. I don't believe it. David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup finals. Give that man a knighthood.
So there we go, David Beckham and the final countdown of his career. An assist from a cross, raw emotion, displays of mass adoration. And he even found time for a fashion statement by designing and wearing a pair of Union Jack boots with his wife and kids' names embroidered into them for the final
game. Lovely.
The final countdown of Beckham's career could not have been more on brand.
Ali Max, thank you for a wonderful profile of David Beckham's final days. That's a bit of a teaser for what we've got coming up next week. It's going to, again, be a player that a lot of people thought would have had the kind of swan song in America, but instead came back to show everybody that he was worth his weight in gold.